Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Where you stand?
And welcome to Fansmanship.com podcast episode 71. We've gone through 71 episodes, and today is July 16th, 17th, 17th, 2013. I'm here with without Luke and Andy. Congratulations to Luke. Had his baby boy on Monday, or baby girl on Monday, Gianna. And so we're excited for him and Ciara, his wife. And I am joined today by Brian Milne, Brian from ballhyped.com and former San Luis Obispo Tribune sports writer and web master. I don't know, is that the right thing to say, Brian?
Sure, webmaster.
Yeah,
that's sure. An old school term.
It is. Well,
I'm a webmaster.
You worked there a while ago.
I did.
So maybe it counts.
Back when webmasters was like a job title.
Yeah, why? What happened to that? Web designer now?
People don't even talk about the internet anymore. You used to be like internet manager.
The World Wide Web.
Totally. Now you're just a web guy. Web nerd.
Web designer, interface, UI designer.
Yes.
Sounds like a disease.
UX specialist.
What's X?
User experience.
Ooh, there you go. There you go. You do a lot of that, right? With Meadows Interactive as well.
I do.
Yeah.
Meadows Interactive.
That's if you want a good web design, then go to meadowsinteractive.com, and that's a good place to go.
Thank you. Is this a web design podcast?
It's not. It's a sports podcast. But first, we have some really amazing news that is only semi-sports related because he's a sports fan. We got probably the follow on Twitter that I've been excited about for some time, that I've, you know, efforted for. I guess I haven't really efforted for it, but I got it. We're super happy to get a follow by Flula today. Flula Borg, a la YouTube. The Badger song is incredible. German Moses song. All the good idiom things that he has on there and his music. It's pretty awesome. I think he just put something out recently with a band called Turquoise Jeep.
Nice.
We're big Flula fans at Fansmanship Podcast, and we're happy that Flula followed us today.
That's Yay. Awesome. Big win.
Big,
see, this
huge
is a web
w.
podcast. We're talking about Flula.
Huge W, yeah, in the podcast department. I guess it wouldn't be the podcast department. It would be the Twitter department.
Congratulations.
But we're talking about other things, I think, Brian, because there's nothing going on today in the world of sports. And that the reason is because the day after the baseball All-Star game, and I think there's 2 days after the baseball All-Star game this year, they got an extra day in their new CBA, their new collective bargaining agreement. But the reason why we don't have a lot going on is because it's the day after the All-Star game and the day of the ESPYs. The ESPYs, the entertainment and sports programming yearly or something like that. And
come up with something news related, you know, fake your news for the night.
I used to think the ESPYs were really cool as a way to kind of fill time. And like, I remember the first few were kind of novel, but lately, I don't know. I haven't been as impressed. Are you going to stay up late and watch the ESPYs?
No, I'm not. I'm going to the drive-in to watch two kids movies with my three kids.
Which ones?
I have already forgotten what they are.
There's like a snail race car movie coming out.
It's not that one.
And there's like a airplane movie coming out.
It's not that. Those aren't out yet.
Oh,
you'll find out soon what it's like, all these kids movies. Yeah, they all kind of blur together. But I know those two aren't going out. Those aren't out yet.
My wife's due in about a week and a half. So yeah, I'll know soon enough along with Luke. And you have what, three kids? So
three of them.
Yeah. The drive-in's awesome though.
Six and under.
How cool is the drive-in?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a bargain. It's old school. It's slow town back in the day. That's always been there. So it's nice to, you know, that there is one of the few drive-ins left.
Fun fact, my wife and I had our first date at the drive-in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'd never been there before. So
it's impressive.
Yeah. Isn't it impressive? Yeah. I thought that was
I'll give you a review. It's Monsters, Inc. 2.
Ooh, I'm interested in that.
Yeah. So I'll give you a review on that.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Lone Ranger, which is more of like a parent's movie after the kids all fall asleep.
So they all fall asleep in the car while the first movie is going on basically, right? Because it's kind of dark.
Maybe
after.
Not. No, I never have that much luck. They'll be up for the whole thing. throwing stuff at us or running around. Yeah.
Yeah. I always see like kids playing catch in there. If I go in the summer, like before the drive-in starts, they just have groups of kids and chairs and blankets and whatnot. You know, the one thing about a drive-in or actually watching fireworks as well is that when you pull your truck in backwards, it's never as comfortable and cool as you think it's going to be, especially if you have more than two people. Mm-hmm. Two people is the max that you can kind of fit in the back of a truck. Mm-hmm. Beyond two people, though, it doesn't really work as well as you might think.
Yeah, try five. Five people in a minivan. That'll be me tonight. Again, is this a sports podcast?
But you're going to back it in, right? Well, it's the day after the All-Star game. We've got to talk about something.
There is no news.
Yeah, actually, I do want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game.
We should.
Yeah, thanks for reining it in and bringing it back where it needs to be. The All-Star game was yesterday. The All-Star game happened at Citi Field, and the National League lost. The American League, I would say the American League won, but really they only scored three runs. And in an All-Star game, that's, I don't think, very much. I mean, it is hard when you're not facing the same pitcher every time, but you'd figure one of the pitchers has a bad inning or something and gives up, you know, three, four, five runs, something mm-hmm. like that. The National League didn't even score a run. I think they had, like, what, three or four hits the whole game?
Yeah, it was really
stupid.
Pitcher's duel.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
Pitcher, it's, that would be like a 1-0 or like a 3-0 hockey All-Star game. Nobody wants to see that.
Exactly.
Yeah, hockey and baseball, you got to have an All-Star game with points. It would be like an NBA All-Star game with like 105 to 99.
Yeah. Or even like a college score, 65 to 59.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So the All-Star game itself wasn't super awesome. I actually just posted something this evening about a few things about the All-Star game that I wanted to ask you about. The first thing is the Bruce Bochy comments about Clayton Kershaw. Now, I heard Bruce Boch, as they call him. I heard him on Dan Patrick today, and he was talking about how he didn't mean anything mm-hmm. by it. He was just trying to, as opposed to bringing down Kershaw by accident, he was trying to raise Matt Harvey, like, hey, this guy is legitimate mm-hmm. in any year. You know, he's a legitimate first start, you know, not just because of the game, but really that was why he started him. He was just trying to make him, build him up a little bit, according to Bochy. I wrote that I'm sure he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he's falling in his division. He doesn't want mm-hmm. everybody focused on the fact that his team's in fourth place and, you know, had finished just a horrific month. Mm-hmm. Do you read anything into those comments that he made about Harvey being the All-Star starter no matter what? And just to give it some context, Kershaw is in the ERA lead in the National League. Mm-hmm. If he wins it, he'll be the first guy since Greg Maddux to win the ERA title 3 years in a row.
Where's Harvey's ERA at?
2.25. Kershaw's is like 1.9. Harvey leads the league in strikeouts.
Yeah.
So it's not horrible. I mean, you know, it wasn't egregious.
Yeah,
but if it was egregious, he wouldn't have started Harvey, right? I mean, he would have started Kershaw if it was that bad.
Well, Harvey looked good last night. You know, not early on, his stuff wasn't that great. But, you know, after he got through the first couple of hitters, I mean, he was pretty legit. I haven't seen him throw a whole lot. And I was like, whoa, this guy is the real deal.
And I know this isn't exactly like a fantasy baseball podcast either, but I have a real issue with him and how they treated him going into the All-Star game anyway. Mm-hmm. The Mets kind of suck, right? They're mm-hmm. not great. I don't want to say they suck really bad, but they're not fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so I could look up what place they were in, but you know, that would take time that I don't have right now. I could have done it beforehand, and I did have time beforehand, but I didn't do it. So the Mets aren't great. Harvey had a blister on his hand the end of last week. He was scheduled to start on like Friday or Saturday, and they scratched him. And they said he might not make his first start after the All-Star break too.
Yeah.
And yet, okay, so he's too hurt to pitch in the actual game that counts, but you're hosting the All-Star game and you know he's going to start, so you make sure he's good to go for those two innings because you know that's like a big deal for your fans. I kind of had a problem with that as a guy who owns Matt Harvey in fantasy baseball. Yeah. Now, I know they're also trying to keep him on an innings limit, and so this is one way to do that, but mm-hmm. it was just kind of frustrating for me to not have him available last week, maybe not available this week in the three games coming off the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, I wasn't too pleased with that.
Yeah, it's tricky because, I mean, maybe they looked at it and said, hey, it's just going to be like a bullpen session for him. Throw him out there for a couple innings, throw like 50 pitches. Sure. I mean, it could have been just that. And then maybe that's why he came out lousy with his first couple hitters. And he's like, I'm just going to treat this like a bullpen. And then he realized, oh, shoot, this is the All-Star game. Yeah. I better bring it. And then he was just shutting people down after that.
He's got stuff.
Yeah.
He's a really good pitcher. I'm thrilled that I drafted him this year in my fantasy league. He's he's more than likely going to be a keeper on my team. And he's like 23 or something. He's young. Yeah. So that was number one, the Kershaw Harvey situation with Bruce Bochy in the middle of it and the Dodger Giant rivalry coming off of that. The second question I have in regards to this year's All-Star game was Neil Diamond.
LOL. What?
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
I said a lot during that game last night. That was the first one.
So I saw Neil Diamond a couple weeks ago. I think it was a Red Sox game. No, it might have been a Mets game. They were like kind of trying it out, I think. And it worked. And it was okay. Like there was nothing special about it. If I was them, I would have scrapped the whole thing after seeing it. Neil Diamond's trying hard. Let's not like put the blame on him. He's efforting to get to a place where he's entertaining again. The recording of his song, though, is more entertaining than him being there. Him being there rocking out, I just don't know. Right?
Yeah, I was confused by that whole scenario.
I know really it was like to honor Boston, but they could have just played the song.
In New York, which typically hates Boston.
And he kind of got booed a little bit. Okay, fine.
But maybe that was it. New York saying, hey, you know, we could even give some respect to our hated rivals.
Bombings and stuff. Yeah, I get it. But then, okay, so all that, great. If the sound would have been fine with it, then great. But I saw somebody reference the jazz singer. The 1920s or 30s movie, the first talkie, I guess, would be the jazz singer. Maybe 1918 or something. I don't know. Anyway, whatever year it was. It was a long time ago. And when the people's lips moved, you didn't hear their voices right away. There was a delay. And that was how Neil Diamond was. And so the whole song was delayed. Excuse me. The background was whatever, but he was off with his background music, right? Didn't sound good.
The whole thing was funky from start to finish. It just didn't, I don't know, a lot of it didn't feel right. It was the whole New York state of mind. You're going to roll out a Mets pitcher out there to start this thing. And then you're going to have this guy come in and sing.
Neil Diamond.
It's like, and then the whole Mo Rivera thing, which we'll get in a minute. It's just like, I was just shaking my head the whole time. A lot of it felt forced. It was like, okay, we're going to give New York the starting pitcher. Oh, we're going to give New York the MVP as well. Just random.
What did New York do to deserve? I don't know. Okay, great.
And I'm a New York guy. Like, I grew up, my favorite player growing up was Dwight Gooden. Right? So I love Mets pitching. Daryl Strawberry, like, love those guys. And then I'm also a Rivera fan. Like, I love Mo Rivera. So I enjoyed seeing those guys on the big stage, and it was nice to see Dwight Gooden not in jail and watching that game for once, and everyone was saying
he's got a good book out. I heard. I haven't read it.
I need to pick it up.
You do.
I have every single baseball card of Dwight Gooden's. I even bought his rookie Donruss card, his 86 or whatever it was, for like $85.
Totally,
like, and now it's worth like 85 cents. I'm sure. You know? It's awesome.
I'm sure it's worth $850.
Maybe
it's like gray on the outside. I can totally picture it. Right.
Yeah.
I can totally
classic
picture that card.
And it was like right then when like baseball cards really started getting popular again.
Totally.
So it was like $85 for that. Or if you want Canseco's Donruss, like rookie card too, same thing, $86. And then all the steroid stuff comes out, and then Dwight Gooden does all the drug stuff, and both those cards are worth like $5.
Just went in the tank.
Yeah.
Bummer. Mm-hmm. That's a bummer, man. Mm-hmm. So that was number two, I guess, was the just Neil Diamond disaster that was. It made it not feel like a first class event, right? It's like when you try to force entertainment when it comes to these things, when you try to force music into a sporting event, like the Super Bowl is the only thing literally that can bring out non-demographic fans. Mm-hmm. But they're not watching the Super Bowl because of the halftime show. The halftime show is to placate them. I think if the Super Bowl didn't have the halftime show, chicks would still watch the Super Bowl. Not to put that into like the non-demographic, but that's what that is, right?
And yeah.
Girls would still, women would still not. That went from chicks to girls to women.
All the women listeners here. Sorry,
all like four.
Come and back,
plus Diane, who's our female writer. From like chicks to girls to women to females. Great, Owen. So we have. So what I'm saying is that bringing Neil Diamond in isn't going to make a girl go, oh my gosh, or like a non-sports fan go, oh my gosh, this is great. I'm going to watch the All-Star game now and watch, whoever that Grant Balfour pitched to, you know, whoever. There's lots of all-stars that nobody's ever, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Even Buster Posey, right? Like, oh, Grant Balfour v. Buster Posey. This is a big matchup now. Like Michael Kadire. That was the matchup. Balfour v. Kadire. And Balfour walked him at the beginning of the seventh or something like that. That was maybe when I tuned in. But my point is that it's not going to make a difference, and it actually ends up making your brand look bad.
That's what I didn't get. Because the whole point of this thing is to decide who's going to host for the World Series.
And to showcase the brand of Major League Baseball.
Exactly. And then you're bringing in all this entertainment stuff. Granted, I mean, sports is entertaining, but you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. Say, okay, this game means something. We're going to give, you know, a token MVP, though. Or we're going to give a token start to a team that's not even in a race.
Right. It just didn't make any sense. Okay, third point about the All-Star game for me that I brought up in my piece today. And that is the information, the news, that Mr. Selig has never and will never send an email. Has never sent an email and will never send an email.
He listens to this show today.
Oh, now he's going to email me about it. Yeah, if Bud Selig listens and he sends me an email, I will fly to New York and give him a high five.
I'll get a lot of traffic if you write about it, too.
Well, I did write about it, yeah.
Well, I mean, if he actually emailed you.
Oh, dude, yeah.
In fact, you should probably do a spoof about that. Just write one.
Luke may get an email from Bud Selig soon enough.
Do it.
We'll see. We've done that in the past.
do like some gonzo journalism thing. First email ever by Bud Selig.
Yeah. We've done stuff like that. Emails about like Cal Poly Sports. There's been, you know, some funny fans that have written in about stuff, quote unquote, written in. And so Bud's never sent an email. So again, we're looking at the branding of Major League Baseball. One of the issues people have talked about over the past few years is the fact that Major League Baseball does not appeal to you, to young fans, to young sports fans.
Exactly.
It does not appeal to, I mean, that's it. Young and minority sports fans do not like baseball. Mm-hmm. And so is the way to broaden your appeal to brag about how you've never sent an email?
Just a microcosm of some of the issues. You know, I mean, the game's great, and it's just all comes back to it being a really regionalized sport. You know, like, you only watch the Dodgers. So, like,
I watch more than the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, but, like, diehard fans only watch their team, and it's really regional, so the ratings of baseball games aren't going to be like the ratings of football games.
But they happen every night, which is why they're so valuable,
exactly.
Right?
So they make up for it with like quantity over quality, unfortunately, in a lot of cases. So they need to do anything they can. I guess the home run derby there was a lot of minority players that did really well, or guys from, you know, Cubans and doing well. So hopefully that helps appeal to the masses.
And it appeals to places like New York and Miami and some of the large, and LA and some of the larger media markets, which is important to them. But when you're talking about appealing to a wide spectrum of fans, and you talk a lot about things like, you know, you criticize Mark, you know, Twitter and Facebook and ways that people market things and media in general. I got to be really critical of MLB right here, right? I mean, I get that they do a lot on the web. MLB.com, MLB.tv is like the most amazing thing. It's actually the standard that other leagues should try to follow when it comes to being able to get web content and games on the web from any other. I mean, NBA, I don't know if NBA League Pass allows you to watch games on the web. I don't think it does. I think you have to have a cable provider in order to read and in order to watch NBA League Pass. So MLB.tv is like, revolutionary, and the other leagues aren't going to catch up for 10 or 15 years. But that all being said, they've shot themselves in the foot by allowing, and I guess Bud's the leader of it, right? It's like a culture of being proud of a good old boy network that really in the end is going to, you know, it has started to, and I think it will continue to be a negative thing for the league.
I don't know. We'll see.
The
guys tweet from the dugout. So maybe he is flipping the coin here.
I'm asking,
because I don't think he's like, you know, the best commissioner ever, but maybe he is a good leader because you never work at a job, and we won't name any names, where the manager is just so up in your business and
entrenched in your
doing
email,
all this stuff,
right.
Maybe removing him and surrounding himself with good people that are good with these technologies, right. Like, you know, the mobile video platform, right. Or the website, right.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Having, they have their, they're one of the first people that actually had reporters on MLB.com that reported about what was going on
with a different teams.
Yeah. Outside of just, you know, PR fluff.
Fluff, right.
Like, it wasn't hardcore investigative journalism.
MLB.com does a good job of saying this report wasn't... I mean, and yeah. Yeah, it's 99% positive as far as the stuff that gets written, mm-hmm. You know, about different... Ken Gernick writes mm-hmm. about the Dodgers for MLB.com. Yeah. He's really great. He's got a lot of chops. But it says, like, this wasn't subject to the approval of Major League Baseball exactly. or its clubs, which is, to your point...
Yeah.
It's
maybe
ahead of the
that's
time.
It. Yeah.
And NBA
maybe
has nothing like that.
He surrounds himself with good people.
Yeah.
He does come off as like a crotchety old man that doesn't know how to communicate or resonate with today's generation.
And I don't think he cares about that, which is, you know, like you said, to your point, they must be doing something right if player salaries are staying high, if mm-hmm. people are still making money. But what I said in my piece was that he might have 1 to 5 assistants who send all his emails for him.
That's exactly it.
Right? I mean,
you know, he's not bogged down in email all day because he has someone else
when
doing
you're
it.
At that high level, you say, yeah, send totally. So-and-so an email about that I want this.
Yes. And sometimes that's what the best leaders do.
Great. I'm good with that. But like your job is also to be the face of the organization.
Yeah, you don't come out and say that though. That's just
correct.
Bad PR.
Correct.
As a guy who does a lot of PR nowadays, that's just
that's not good.
Stupidity.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. So I was okay in being a little bit annoyed by that.
Oh, yeah.
I as a fan who, you know, looks at things like the embracing of technology or not, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to wonder sometimes about Major League Baseball, but maybe that's just the one thing that I can pinpoint. Maybe like all the other evidence points to them being really great about using technology. I don't know.
Decent. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
You know, could
and,
be worse.
And I think in a lot of cases, maybe David Stern sends a lot of email, but I'm never happy about the NBA's like coverage of itself.
Yeah.
I'm never happy about, the NFL does okay. They have a lot of stuff on NFL.com, but yeah. NBA.com has always been like a minimal operation mm-hmm. With mostly and all like PR stuff. I think NBA.com is run by the NBA and all the team's sites are also run by the NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's no unique anything on there. So last night, you know, the National League won. Are you pro, World Series, pro the All-Star game, deciding who gets home field for the World Series? Do you think that's a stupid idea?
I think it is, because home field is such a deciding factor. I mean, you just look at the lines that Vegas comes up with every day. They always give 2 or 3 points to the home team. They say in football, it's like 3 or 4 points for the home team, just for being
right.
at home and having that 12th man, or in baseball, having that 10th man or right. 11th man, if you include the DH.
Having last at-bats.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
having
and that's proven out in the World Series. So how that can be decided at an exhibition is beyond me, but
here's what I think, and I think this is a really cool idea. I think mm-hmm. that they shouldn't choose the All-Star game as far ahead of time as they do. Like, they already know who's going to have it next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should wait till the World Series, and the World Series should decide where the All-Star game is. And I think whoever wins the World Series should have the right to host the All-Star game if they want to make some extra money for their team.
Like a legacy home field advantage. You just keep getting it if you keep winning.
Yeah, the Cardinals win mm-hmm. the World Series. The Cardinals get to host the All-Star game next year. Kansas City, you want to host the World Series? Get a better team. There's revenue yeah. sharing in baseball.
That thing might never leave New York, though, if the Yankees get young and get good again.
They're a ways away. I know you're a Yankee fan.
I grew up, I was a journalist for 10 years, so I was objective, never really a fan of anything.
Oh, come
I actually
on.
Grew up as a, we
a
split,
fan.
Yeah, season tickets down in LA.
Right.
But like I said, when I actually started playing the game, I loved Dwight Gooden. So I just became in that New York state of mind.
Yeah.
And toward the end of his career, he became a Yankee, and I started following them a lot. And then when they made their...
Which was like the mid-90s.
Yeah, when they made their West Coast trip, I'd go to A's games, and all those guys would always sign autographs. I have so many autographs from Yankees that are so cool. It also might have been because no one attends A's games, so you're...
You could
the
get
ratio
close to the
of
Yankees
getting,
at A's games.
Yeah, autographs is really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I saw David Cone almost throw a perfect game in Oakland for the Yankees and just really started liking him. And Then I sucked at pitching in high school, so I became a shortstop, mm-hmm. and just loved Derek Jeter too. Mm-hmm. So I've been following Jeter and Mo for, you know, since the mid '90s or whatever.
For a while. Yeah. So, what did you think about Rivera getting the MVP of the game? It was a game that was bereft of quality moments. I mean, Fox got to be kind of bummed about that whole thing.
When he came out in the eighth inning, that like made me tear up. I thought that was cool.
Without Neil Diamond, that would have been even cooler.
Yes.
Because Neil Diamond sang before that. So there was like Neil sang and then like he went away and then they started the music, which mm-hmm. I guess was okay, but it would have been cooler if right after the last out they started the music.
Mm-hmm. But it was between the seventh. Mo came out in the eighth.
The eighth.
It was?
Yeah, the seventh. They did the seventh inning stretch and God Bless America.
Between the innings, or between the halves of innings, right? And then Mo came out?
Middle of the eighth was when they did Neil Diamond.
Oh, I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's okay, because Neil Diamond, you blocked out juggling so hard. Yeah, no, it's all good.
So is that why no one came onto the field? Because they were just so depressed after watching
it? Yes, that's my point. They're like, okay, we need to jam this up. So they put up it was an AC/DC song or something that Mo runs out to.
Metallica, come on.
Was it? Oh, yeah, I understand, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, sorry. Same genre, I guess.
Again, I grew up in, or I went to high school in the mid-90s, so.
Yeah. So Mo came out, he stood on the mound by himself. It looked like he shed a couple tears.
Yeah, he's pretty emotional, definitely.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah, because you just don't see that ever. You know, the Cal Ripken thing was cool during the All-Star game, but you don't see stuff like that in baseball, and that was pretty real. Yeah. Like, that was... You can tell Leland had a hand in that, and the team was like,
and the National League
guy gets mad props, right?
Right.
It reminded me of, I mean, this whole season with Mo reminds me of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his last year when they're bringing out the rocking chairs and the Harleys and all that cool
stuff.
Did you
see the broken bat chair that he got from the Twins,
I think, right? It's very similar to what they brought out for Kareem, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just that kind of respect and giving a guy who's been playing that long and is still that dominant that kind of props is cool. That is one old school tradition with baseball that is cool. You know, that respecting the game and those who are there. And, you know, when you hear Larry Lee all the time talk about respect the game, respect, that's it right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, don't flip your bat when you win the home run derby like that guy did. That's, you know, Bush League. That's not respecting
the
game.
That's a home run derby, though.
It is. Yeah, I guess the home run derby is kind of Bush League, too.
I like Cespedes.
Yeah, but it's just like, play the game the right way. That's not playing the game the right way.
If you're Bryce Harper, that's abusing the game. If you're from Cuba, it's flair.
Totally.
Right?
Because it's a different game there.
Kind of good. Quick random question here. You mentioned Larry Lee. Did you follow Cal Poly baseball this year? What do you think of their run? Like, I know you covered Larry's teams at Cuesta and Cal Poly, or just Cal Poly?
Yeah, Cuesta and Poly.
Yeah.
I actually played like a little fall ball for Larry when I went to Cuesta.
Okay.
So, I enjoyed it. You know, it was nice to be able to sit back and kind of watch as more of a fan and Cal Poly grad.
I always
enjoy seeing them extend the season because I know for them that's what it's all about. He always talked about, you know, breaking down that barrier.
Right.
I mean, he said that every year. He's like, this season's a failure if we don't break it down. So it was nice to see them make it when they made it a few years ago. Then this year, make it and win a game, right?
And
have a chance at extending the season.
Should have beat the national champs.
Totally, right? So it was nice to see these baby steps. You see them get there one year.
I know.
A couple years later.
But doesn't it make you say, like, to yourself, why do you got to... Because in college, you don't always have to take the steps. I feel like in the NBA game, professional sports, oftentimes you have to take baby steps, right? Mm-hmm. So the Heat had to take baby steps. They had to lose to the Mavericks, mm-hmm. eventually get where they needed to go. The Lakers had to beat the Spurs back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Pistons had to beat the Lakers. Even back in the 80s, the Pistons had to beat the Celtics. Then they had to beat the Lakers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So they had to like wait their turn. They had to get there and then be good long enough, wait your turn until the other team got old enough, basically, and you got good enough to beat them.
Yeah.
In college, though, you don't see that. You don't always see that, like especially in baseball.
Yeah, it depends, though.
Right?
I think it's in a mid-major conference, you do see it because...
But isn't the Big West like, I don't know, it's
in
mid-major.
Baseball, they're more of a top-tier conference, but...
They're like a low top tier conference.
Yeah, you don't get like a redshirt pitcher that's going to be going to the major leagues after one season. Like it's not like Memphis basketball or Kentucky when they're just dominating, when they're getting blue chip recruits in there. They're going to go to the NBA 1 year and you could rebuild in one season and win a title.
Right.
Or what like the Celtics did that 1 year when they got KG and all those guys. You could win a title in your first year. But in the Big West, you need a year under your belt because you're an 18-year-old kid.
Unless you're Fullerton.
Where you can really revamp.
Where you like, can do that Kentucky-Memphis ridiculousness, like ACC style.
But a team that's never been to the NCAA tournament can't really make a run unless they have a dominant pitcher. Like if he gets two stud pitchers and maybe in their sophomore year and they're going to be around for a couple of years, you can do it.
But that's what you saw is you saw their pitching depth kind of start to break down a little bit.
Yes.
And a few little, you know, nicks and you know, in the armor, and now you know, now you're losing to a team. And credit to UCLA, they won the national title, so you know, no hanging your head. But when you're a fly ball, a routine fly ball away from beating those guys and being being 2-0, and making UCLA play USD, that's like, oh man, I hate doing that. Like in my own, I hate doing that with my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't encourage Cal Poly guys to do it. But for their stuff, man, that's got to be like a thing. I would be doing everything I could not to think about it, but just thinking about it the whole time. I don't know.
I was bummed when that happened.
Me too.
My wife and I spent a week in New Orleans that same week, and we're actually flying back into LA that weekend.
So you're gonna go.
So I was hoping I can make all the final games on Sunday and hopefully Monday, but. That was unfortunate. Austin,
yeah. I watched them all on my big screen. Again, you know, the magic of TV, the Big West does a really good job of getting games and ESPN U or ESPN 3.
Yeah, I was on ESPN U or
ESPN
3,
which is like the online version of ESPN.
Yeah.
Carry those games and good for them for that. I think, you know, they definitely have a bright future at Cal Poly it's cool to see like some building in programs.
Mm-hmm.
You see like all three major men's programs kind of building up. I mean, obviously you can't stay at a hugely high level forever in every sport, but you see like little baby steps that the men are taking, the men's basketball team. That
you even saw it with the women, right? The women's basketball team getting to the tournament.
And yeah, then good for faith, right?
The first step is getting there, just knocking down that door.
Right.
And then unfortunately, you're going to get smoked when you get there. But then because of that exposure, you're going to get better athletes, and you're just going to feel better about yourself, and you're going to taste winning. And that's when it starts to steamroll.
Same with football going to the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, even though they went and they lost, all the indicators are that they, you know, it's like the baseball team. Like, they could have I know it was like a first or not a first, but it was an unusual thing. The football and the baseball team this year were very similar in terms of how they ended their seasons. And
the key is keeping, you know, that staff together and keeping that philosophy intact. And
then you keeping lose the coaches, core you lose.
Exactly.
Yeah, you lose,
and that's what happened with Pauley football when Ellerson left and you had Ramsey's Barden left and you had, you know, that quarterback left. Right. And it was like, that's the core of your team. So while you might have made it and actually hosted a game in the FCS tournament.
Playoffs,
The next season, that's not going to carry over because you lost some huge pieces.
Well, and it'll be interesting this year with the quarterback there. Not to digress. Yeah. With the quarterback situation, they got four of them that are competing, and they all kind of have an equal shot. Like, they won't even give, like, a top two at the end of the spring game this year. It was really fun.
It's a good problem to have, they're saying.
Right. Really, exactly. And, like, two or three of them are good enough to play slot back or safety or something like that, too. Like, good enough athletes. Yeah. So
are they,
like,
good enough to play quarterback, though?
Well, we'll see, right? I mean, nobody really stood out. And the defense is going to be really good, so that kind of hurt their chances to shine. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys wasn't there. But everybody has something that they do well. And everybody has, like, some talent and some whatever.
I want to go to a Fresno State game.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, actually, Scroggins a Fresno State grad, so I'm gonna go. Like, I'm gonna get
there early. Bring his pom poms up into the booth.
He's gonna give me. He's gonna give me the Fresno State tour. I think maybe, whatever that means. I don't know.
Bring me along for the ride, JD. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. So, you've been to an All Star game before?
I have.
Kind of.
The Pauley thing reminds me of the Giants. You were just talking about watching Pauly baseball on TV. Uh-huh. Back, they actually played against Tim Lincecum
when Lincecum was at Washington.
Yeah, in 2006, but they didn't have cool stuff like this where you can watch it on TV. So I just heard it was at Washington.
Of course, hear
war stories about how filthy that guy was against Cal Poly even back in the day.
Guys who were playing for Cal Poly back then who might be around still, like Brent Morrell on that team or any of those guys?
Yeah, 2006. I just remember hearing, I forget who the pitcher was. Uh-huh. Pauly had a couple major league prospects. Uh-huh. And even those guys who were like, 10th or 12th round draft picks maybe, they were talking about at the time, they were like, well, he was unbelievable. Part of it was because he's so small and just how he's able to just whip his arm mm-hmm. around, you know. But anyways, yeah, it just reminded me because he threw that no-hitter the other night. And then
148 pitch no-hitter.
Yeah.
What is that about?
How does his arm not fall off?
What is that about?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it just reminded me of the Giants and the Bochy thing. And the one All-Star game I did go to was in 2007 when San Francisco hosted.
Sure.
So I actually took my kayak up there, and that was toward the end of the Bonds era and all that, when McCovey Cove was really boiling with boats out there.
So
you're
a kayaker.
Yes.
You're a guy who's well-versed in kayakery.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word? Kayaksmanship?
Paddling.
Canoesmanship.
Canoes are huge. Kayaks are the new thing.
Yeah, we used to have an ocean kayak. We'd like go ride the waves in the ocean kayak and fish
so,
a little bit.
We did the whole McCovey Cove thing when it was like boat to boat. You could actually walk across the boats and stuff.
How do you, first of all, where do you launch? Do you have to go far away and launch and paddle in? How does that work?
Yeah, when there's an all-star game in town, I mean, I've been to regular season games because I lived in San Francisco for a year, but take a regular season game and an all-star game is on a whole other level.
Okay.
Especially back then in 2007, like 9/11 still there. So there's different restrictions on security. So you actually had to apply a week ahead of time, I think it was, for a permit to go into McCovey Cove.
McCovey Cove, is there like a small inlet and outlet? Was there somebody checking
Very
you?
Small.
Did you have a thing around your neck as you were kayaking?
How it worked is, you had to apply with the San Francisco PD, and you had to fill out an application, and they emailed you the documentation, so they put you on their list. So you were on their list when you showed up, and you had to show ID. It's like getting into a bar. Well, essentially, that's what it is, a bar on water out there.
Here's what I'm laughing about. I don't laugh about security, but I'm laughing about, like, a Borat episode. Like, I'm picturing a Borat episode of Borat trying to mm-hmm. apply for, like, a kayak ID.
Totally.
Or not Borat, but, like, the Dictator. Right, same actor, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even see that movie, but I'm picturing that guy applying for a kayak ID so he could do some kind of damage like that.
Because everyone out there is crazy. They're all wearing wigs and they might have been dressing up like him.
That could be a hilarious bit. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It was just, it's like, it was also, I went to Salt Lake around when the Winter Olympics were there, and same kind of thing, crazy security all the time, helicopters flying over and, cops on jet skis everywhere. So it was a fiasco to say the least,
jet skis everywhere.
But it was a blast because when are you ever going to see that?
You're walking down the road, cops on jet skis that turn into Segways.
Totally. Mall cops out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was fun. And so I went out there for the home run derby, actually, because you were thinking, a couple balls are going to get out there.
Was Bonds in the derby that year?
I don't recall. I don't think so. No, because there's no balls hit out there. Not a single fair ball hit out there that was
there
a home
run. There was one foul, right?
One foul that I did not get. But so it was really just sitting there listening to the crowd ooh and ah.
So like,
but it was a bunch of right-handers going deep to left field.
When you're out there, so this is a question, when you're out there, what, like, you don't have a view of the field, obviously. You're way lower than the field. You're out there just kind of next to the stadium. Is there any indication besides just the crowd going, oh, and then looking up, mm-hmm. like, there's only one ball that went over there, but you could see maybe some of the flies to right.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like, is that kind of dangerous to be out there too? Like at the same
time?
Not
really. Cause you'll see the fans like start to react, and there's only one sport you could really do that for, which is baseball. Cause you have, you listen to the radio and you could really enjoy, no offense to radio, but you can really enjoy a baseball game on the radio. Right. So you listen to it and there's some good announcers up there.
But it's delayed.
It is delayed, so you won't know if the ball's coming your way, but you can appreciate the game even though you're not seeing it.
So did you have a radio?
Yeah, everyone out there has radios.
Okay.
I kind of relate it to, I went to the Rose Bowl when Texas played against USC in the Rose Bowl, and Vince Young ran all over the Trojans. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But I didn't see that game because I didn't get in and I couldn't afford scalper tickets.
Okay.
So I watched it on the side of an RV with a bunch of Longhorn fans because there's like probably 10,000 fans from Texas that didn't make it in that were just tailgating.
Didn't make it in the stadium, but they have a sweet RV.
They have like, yeah, $500,000 RV.
Diesel pusher.
So they're watching it there. And
with a flat screen on the back.
Yeah, drinking beer and barbecuing.
Yeah.
So I watched it out there. That was different because we can actually watch the game on TV, watch the fans react, and you would know there's a delay there as well. There's another delay because the blimp kept going over and cutting out the signal every time it went over the satellite signal. Uh-huh. So the only way you knew something positive was happening for one team or the other was when the Texas fan up there was holding up her sign cheering, or when Trojan fan was holding his sign up there cheering. And so when this is a true story, when Vince Young ran for that last touchdown at the end, the Goodyear blimp or whatever came over, cut out the feed. We didn't see the play, but we saw a Texas fan raise her banner and go nuts. And we knew that on that option carry that he had won the ball game.
Wow.
And then they showed the replay or the tape delayed live shot of it. And we're like, no way.
So you just pay to get into the parking lot then.
Basically.
And that's like legit tailgating.
Yeah.
I went to a Texas-Oregon Holiday Bowl with Harrington and Major Applewhite and Phil Sims' kid.
Fun.
Chris Sims and... I decided to root for Oregon because they were Pac-10, so I wore like all camo.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Head to toe camo.
Nice.
I think it might have been it was December of 2000. I feel like if you went in with head to toe camo now, you might get some funny looks in the game. But it was like December of 2000, so it was like everybody was
back
cool,
in the
whatever.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All shades of green, hence the Oregon colors.
Totally.
And Harrington did this like quarterback throwback cat. He caught a touchdown pass in the game. And,
nice.
Yeah. But Texas fans roll strong.
Oh, for sure.
Texas, you know, they're probably up there with like Ohio State, probably Florida, Georgia, any of the SEC teams probably roll pretty strong too.
And same kind of atmosphere, not to keep jumping back around, but at the All-Star game, too. San Francisco is pretty diehard. When I lived there, I remember working at the Long's drugstore up there.
Okay.
And on game days when the Niners were playing, like,
football?
I swear half the staff would just be watching the game in the back room because they're so diehard about their sports up there.
And I think they're more diehard about the Giants now that the Giants have won a little bit more.
So those All-Star games were fiasco, especially with Bonds toward the end of his career.
Yeah.
People were fanatic out there. So there is people like trying to tailgate on their kayaks out there with those little hibachi barbecues doing their thing. And, you know, everyone's drinking beer.
That's got to be awkward, right? If you couldn't do it justice with tailgating with a hibachi on there.
Some of those guys are pretty pro. Like if you read about
bungee cord going or what's the story there? Like
searching about just the McCovey Cove regulars. There's one or two guys out there with orange kayaks with the logo painted on there, and those guys know how to do it. They have like double nets, and the guy ends up with like a dozen balls a game, and
a dozen balls
batting practice and stuff. Like these guys know what they're doing, and they go
the balls
out there,
float.
They float.
I always thought that was weird. The balls float.
Yeah, it's because they have the cork in the middle, and then they're wrapped in yarn.
Right. So of course they would, but
totally.
But
it was a blast. I ended up going back for last year's World Series, Game 2 of the World Series.
Did you have to apply for a permit again?
No, it was way more lax. I actually emailed the San Francisco PD and asked, "Hey, I don't see anything. Do I need to do this?" And they're like, "Oh no, just come on out."
Right, and there were way less people there too.
There was, because it was just. It goes back to what I'm saying. The problem with baseball is it's really regionalized. So you had few Tiger fans there, not many, maybe because it is a metropolitan area with a lot of people, but it was just San Francisco fans. That's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have a lot of Detroit transplants in a city like San Francisco. You would in L.A.
Totally.
You would have a lot more in L.A.
Yeah. Just for the All-Star game, you had every team represented, so you just had everyone came down on there.
And they can plan it a lot ahead of time.
Yeah. Right. In the World Series, we win game two because we weren't sure it was going to come back, you know?
Right.
So, and we couldn't go to whatever it was a sweep, right? So it didn't come back.
So, like, how enjoyable is it to go and, like, I mean, it's got to get cold out there too, right? When you're kayaking.
It does, but, you know, living here and surfing on the.
Do you have a wetsuit on when you're kayaking?
Yeah, I took a wetsuit that day because I figured the game would go long because all the TV breaks.
And so, how long did you stay out there in your kayak?
We were there from start to finish because it was.
Did you jump out of your kayak?
2-3 ball game? No, I didn't get out.
Take a potty break?
It's way too cold. No, you do a good job of getting all that out of your system early on if possible.
And not bringing any more.
Yeah, you can't. That's why you can't really drink a ton out there, just right. for obvious reasons.
Unless it's like a really hot day, maybe, yeah. like on a summer-like afternoon.
Yeah.
And then maybe, but getting in and out of a kayak when you don't have like a dock or a shore is like almost impossible.
Especially with, I mean, there was like 1,000 people out there. So you hop off your kayak and everyone's looking at you like, what are you doing? It's just awkward. You just don't need to do it.
If you're like, you know what I'm doing.
And we're covering everything on the Fans and Shit podcast.
You know it. You know it. So Tim Lincecum threw a no-hitter recently. Mm-hmm. He's been much maligned, speaking of the Giants, yeah. lately. I mean, the last year and a half just haven't been great for him, even though he still put up, I think, decent numbers when you actually look at it. He hasn't been the freak. He hasn't been this, like, yeah. dominant shutdown guy, really, ever since Matt Cain signed his new contract, which is mm-hmm. kind of an interesting... I know that's not the reason he was hurt before Kane's contract was coming up, but mm-hmm. When Kane signed his contract, they're like, that's the guy we want to give big money to because he's yeah. durable. A la kind of Kershaw's comes off as pretty durable too.
Yeah.
Tim's this little, you know, evokes like Pedro Martinez comparisons as far as being little
sure.
and injured. But dude threw 148 pitches and Bochy led him.
Mm-hmm.
Bochy's an old school guy. When I was in San Diego, there was a show called Coach in the Boat or The Coach in Boat or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
John Quintero is a radio guy down there who's really good. And I worked for him for a while. But they used to talk, and Bochy's like an old school dude, man.
Mm-hmm. He's got that voice that kind of sounds like super deep.
and you got to think that he's just like, all right, if he's throwing a no-hitter, I'm going to leave him out there.
Yeah.
There's none of like the long view, which maybe is why he's so good in the postseason, I feel like, or in like down the stretch, because he doesn't manage for like the long term. He manages mm-hmm. for the right now.
Yeah.
But does a 148-pitch game, like, I don't know, like in the long...
That's pretty nuts.
The long run, I want to see how Lincecum does the rest of the year, because yeah. you could like, with so many guys, you can look at games like that and see their production just like fall off the cliff afterwards. Yeah.
It was strange. I mean, I think that goes back to, though, kind of that old school philosophy like I was talking about, like playing the game the right way and respecting yeah. him as a pitcher.
Bochy's into
that. He goes out there and he throws 8 innings that strong. And right. even in the ninth, he was looking strong. It was like, are you really going to take this guy out? Out of respect to him and what he did for San Francisco over the last 5 years or whatever, right. you could not take the ball out of his hand if he was okay with it.
But is it worth ruining? I mean, I'm not saying it will ruin the rest of the season, but taking the chance, I guess, on ruining the remainder of the season
yeah.
for the pitcher, or even to be able to get something for him in a trade. Like, if he goes out and is crap his next two starts, they're not going to be able to even trade him for anything.
Yeah.
So I guess,
think he was like maybe 2 or 3 pitches away maybe from getting the hook.
I feel like the Dodgers...
But once he made it to the ninth and yeah. didn't, you know, have a bad inning, they were going to let him go. It was his yeah. to win or
and
lose.
And I didn't watch the game, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like the Dodgers, like, that just wouldn't happen. Like,
yeah.
Like, not with Kurt. I mean, obviously they're not going to let Kershaw throw 140 pitches, but even with like a Greinke or somebody that they have a little bit of money invested in, or even like say Zach Lee came up and like did it, they're not going to let anybody who's got any kind of value. So does it also show that like the Giants, they love what he did, but they also think his long-term value might not be there? Like, just throw it out there. Or you think it just comes down to in the moment, Bochy,
I think so,
making that decision?
Yeah, you have to only
respect him, quote unquote.
Yeah,
gotta have respect.
Totally. But it is strange because you look at Lincecum now and you think, yeah, he's going to be kind of a middle reliever type guy because he's awesome at it. He's still great in the World Series. What do you throw, 2 1/3 perfect innings twice? I think he did it in game 1 and 4 or whatever.
He wasn't starting last year in the World Series. Yeah.
And so, but he came out and he struck out, whatever, 4 or 5 guys in 2 innings. And, you know, he was dominant in
those stretches.
Do you
think he could be a closer in the second half of his career?
Maybe.
Do you think he could go somewhere and be a closer?
It really depends on how dirty his stuff is. Like if he has a cut fastball like Mo does, sure.
But he doesn't have to. I mean, he can be more dirty with less pitches. You know what I mean? Like he can throw
if he
harder.
Just focus on
if he only has to focus on an inning or two, he can throw harder. He can give more of himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's worth a shot.
Have we just solved the Tim Lincecum issue?
Maybe he's the next Mo Rivera.
He's the next Dennis Eckersley.
Ooh,
ooh.
The long hair.
All he needs is a I don't think he's growing a mustache anytime soon, though.
Probably not.
And with that, I think we're going to end the podcast here.
It's awesome.
Thanks for coming on. We got to have you more often,
yeah,
I think.
We should try to cover more random topics on next times. podcast.
We got through quite a few today. I mean, we motored through some stuff. We're gonna come back with more podcasts this month. But if we do like have a falling off of numbers of podcasts, it's probably because Luke and I will both have new babies pretty soon. So yeah,
that'll be awesome.
We'll try to get stuff taped when we can and get it out there. And we really appreciate you listening. If you made it this far, it's the Fansmanship Podcast, and Brian Milne. Thanks again. You can find Brian and his web design mastery at meadowsinteractive.com. He really does a great job when it comes to building any kind of websites, really business related, whatever you guys want. If you're into website stuff or SEO stuff, Brian's a good guy to talk to.
Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, you know,
are you going to do a blog post on this?
On Meadows Interactive?
No, on tonight's podcast.
It will be in itself a blog post. Okay. So like it will be, and there is a blog post about the topics I talked about with the All-Star Game.
Oh, cool.
That actually posted while we were talking about it automatically.
Nice.
See how that goes? Because you can schedule. Uh-huh. So I went ahead and scheduled that for like, I think it might be actually pretty close to right now.
Nice. So for the show notes, I'll give you a link. The Detroit Free Press talked to me when I was in McCovey Cove last year.
Oh, nice.
And wrote all about the experience. So if anyone's ever interested in kayaking McCovey Cove, Owen will put in the show notes a link to that article, which talks all about all the crazy stuff that happens out there. It's pretty cool. It captures it really well.
And you're going to love this plug. Also, if you're interested in like kayaking around and fishing in San Luis Obispo County, Brian has two fishing books that he's published, one of which I bought for my dad last year for Christmas on Amazon. So stuff is findable. Oh, you're on. Yes, that was me. But stuff is findable if you're interested in fishing too. Maybe we'll just have an all fishing podcast because Andy goes up fishing quite a bit once a year to some lake up by Sacramento.
Cool.
And so, yeah, maybe we'll have you on for a fishing thing. That'd with Andy cool. too. All right, Brian, thanks a lot. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
As time goes by, I just keep getting closer to that sky. I keep my head high, shooting for the moon, no limits. I'm here, Miles Davis, birthday, no gimmicks. As time goes by, I just keep getting closer to that sky. So keep your hands high, center of the room, cause I'm winning. I'm here, Miles Davis, birthday, no gimmicks. Bear witness, scary flow, I'm terrific. Impaired vision, caress every minute, seduce my lifeline. That's fucked up.